So we come now to Jonah chapter 2 for this afternoon study. Jonah chapter 2. And in this second study of the book of Jonah, we read here of Jonah's prayer to God. And he prays from the belly of the fish. What a place to pray. But anyway, the Lord is merciful, as we see in Jonah's condition, that the Lord hears the prayer of his servant and of his children wherever they may be, and God certainly will deliver in his mercy. And so we read of Jonah's prayer being made while being kept alive by God in the belly of the fish, and how God in his mercy delivered him safely to land. But I just want to bring up an interesting point to note from the text, that Jonah appears to be in a very despairing condition. I am cast out of thy sight, and still he has hope, for he resolves and he prayed, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Indeed, we thank God for this work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of a Christian believer, that we are able, even in our time of being brought very low, downcast, yet in the mercy of the Lord, he gave us the faith to look unto him, towards his holy temple. Everything seems to be lost for him, and yet as long as he can look to God, nothing is lost. God cannot see him, so he thinks, and he speaks of looking towards God. And this is strange, isn't it? And that's how complex we human beings are, isn't it? He appears, or rather, it is as if he is saying, I am cast out of your sight. The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord seems to be far away. And yet, God is the object of his sight. God is the one that he looks up to. I do not know more of a hopeful resolution that the human heart can determine upon this. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And I trust that our brief meditation on this text will give much strength and comfort to those of us who may be in trouble, just like Jonah. Our text leads us next to observe that faith in the true Christian, whatever his or her circumstances may be, still rise up to the front. And that is the kind of faith that we need, and that is the kind of faith that you and I as Christian believers ought to pray and seek the Lord's help and seek the Holy Spirit's help to increase that faith in us. Here is Jonah in such a wretched and miserable condition, and he says, I am cast out of God's sight. And yet, despite this, he declares, I will look again toward thy holy temple. O brethren, do not give up. Do not be despair if you are a child of God. Though everything around you seems to be against you, and particularly when you feel that God has cast you out of his sight, no, in his mercy, you see here in Jonah's condition, in Jonah's case, yet you can still look unto him. For our God is a very, very merciful and compassionate God. You see, brethren, faith is the child of the omnipotent and share in God's omnipotence. It is born of the eternal and it possesses God's immortality. You may crush and grind, but faith, every fragment of it lives. You may cast it into the fire, but it cannot be burned. You may hurl it into the deep, great deeps, but it is bound to rise again. Oh, you see this faith in Jonah, and how much you and I, brethren, need to pray for such faith. Resolute faith. Faith has an eye that was made to take in the sunlight, and so long as God is the sun, there will be eyes of faith to rejoice in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. If we have faith, which is a gift from God, as we know from Scripture, there is that in the believer which overcomes the world, baffles Satan's and conquers sin and rule life and abolishes death. All things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to her that believes. Faith triumphs in every place, notwithstanding that her life is one of continued trial and testing. Offense is broken like a potter's vessel, and the wise is confounded, but faith, notice here, that it remains. And not only remains, it grows and rules in the power of the Most High God. So learn here, brethren, for the comfort of those who are afflicted and those who are downcast, that Jonah was in a position altogether unique, yet, that word is a very beautiful word, yet, faith stood still, or rather faith stood him in good stead. His trial was all his own doing, yes, it was his disobedience that brought this misery upon himself. He was near death in the belly of a fish. He was alone to the last degree. Yet there is hope. Yet is the blessedness. Here is the blessedness of it. His faith was equal to his position. You cannot banish faith, living faith. Her home is everywhere in whatever circumstances. Yes, faith in weakness makes the Christian strong. In poverty, make him spiritually rich, and in death, makes him live. Therefore, get a firm confidence in God and pray, as I've said, pray that God, through His Holy Spirit, will work in us, will work in you, a resolute faith. And you need not inquire what is going to happen. Simply, humbly, let God fulfill His will in your life. All you need to do is to, in humility, seek after Him, call upon Him, cry out to Him, and ask that He will give you that faith to quietly, patiently wait upon Him. Upon a careful examination of the text, we first see the result of walking by sight. The result of walking by sight. I am cast out of thy sight. And secondly, we see here the second lesson, the resolve of walking by sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. These two principles, remember brethren, were both found in one man, this man Jonah, at one time. And so let us begin with the first head, the result of walking by sight. When we look at our troubles, when we look at all the afflictions of our life, the immediate conclusion, usually, for all men, all women, I am cast out of thy sight. And so it is noteworthy that we pick up here from this text, firstly, that unbelief is always first to speak. Unbelief always comes forth, and it is the result of our walking by sight as a believer. Whenever David says, "I said in my haste," you will notice that something is to be confessed which was unwise and untrue. You see, unbelief cannot wait. Unbelief must have its say. It blares out all the foolishness at its earliest opportunity. And that's what we are in our fallen nature. In our case, as Christian believers, by the help of the Holy Spirit, if we can be calm and patient, you will speak to God's glory. You will be able to be still and to know that He is God. But if we are hasty, impatient, bad-tempered, it is almost an absolute certainty that we will say what we will later regret. All our hasty words are often handed back to us that we may eat them. Let us not follow David, who says what? David says this: "I pour out my soul in me," in Psalm 42 verse 4. But let us rather, and it is better, not that it is wrong to pour out our souls in me or in ourselves, but rather it is better, like Hannah, "I pour out my soul before the Lord. I pour out my soul before the Lord." 1 Samuel 1:15. Or better still, be like the psalmist in Psalm 142 verse 2. "I pour out my complaint before Him." Who is the Him? God. "I showed before Him." Who is the Him? God. "I showed before Him my trouble." It is better that we do this way than to say, "I pour out my soul in me." Brethren, speak not to yourself. Speak to your Lord. Speak to your Savior. Speak to your Redeemer. Even if you utter hasty word and words of unbelief, they are better spoken in God's presence or in God's ear than muttered within our own heart. God will hear them in any case. God is gracious and merciful, long-suffering, remember. But when He perceives that in our spirit, or in your spirit, there is no guile, though much impatient, yes, God will freely forgive you all your foolish error of hasty speech and help you to bear up your troubles. Speak to God, for He is full of compassion and mercy. But let us take heed here. Be slow to murmur. Be slow to complain. Be slow to conclude that God has cast you out. No, it is you who make that move to walk away from God. God continue to keep His promise. What was that promise? Or what is that promise that you constantly are reminded? "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So in the first place, let us remember that our carnal nature is ever so quick to speak and sure to speak inappropriately. Then we see also that Jonah seems to be correct in that sense when he says that he is cast out, of being cast out of the sight of God. That statement is correct and true. He reckoned with much reasoning that he must be cast out of God's sight, and that is why he is in such a terrible condition in the fish belly, because he sees in his own sight. He felt it. Yet, he was not so. Walking by sight caused Jonah to have a negative feeling in his relationship with his God. And therefore, I invite those of you who judge God, who conclude that by what you feel, you come to a conclusion that God is far away. By what you feel and what you see, may I suggest that you revise and change your judgment, and in future not to be quick to come to any just conclusion as to God's dealing with you. Thank God, you will be wrong if you despair. It is much better to show your faith by relying on the Lord Jesus than to display your foolishness or your folly by saying, "I am cast out." Another result or another outcome of Jonah walking according to his sight, according to the manner of the flesh and his sense, was bitterness to Jonah. Bitterness to Jonah. He felt it. You can see by the way in which he expressed himself that this is a very heavy burden upon him. For he cries in verse 3, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea, and the floods compass me about. All thy pillows and thy waves passed over me." So you see this man right now, and we cannot deny the fact, we made of flesh and blood, we do feel that when we are in such a condition like Jonah, we too will feel that, and we too will feel this bitterness. And so it seems strange, isn't it, that now he felt this way, this bitterness to his soul. You see, in the first place, was it not his choice to disobey God and sought to flee away from God, to get away from God, to get out of God's sight, so to speak, to get away from the presence of the Lord? Is it not true in the first place he desired that? And now he thinks that he is far away from God and he is filled with horror and dismay. So learn from Jonah's experience. When you, in your willfulness, you wish you could get away from the all-searching eye of God and turn away from him, thinking that you can really hide from him. And if you can do that, it would be hell and misery to you. If you are a true child of God, you must, by the help of the Holy Spirit, of course, dwell in the presence of God. It is your life. Get away from God, forsake the Lord, your God, your Savior, and you are doomed. You cannot be happy anywhere else as a Christian believer. You cannot go back to the world and feel comfortable in it if you are truly a born-again child of God. There is no rest for your soul once you get out of communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. If you are not happy in the God of the Bible, you are doomed to be happy nowhere else. There is no choice left for you, brethren. Your very nature as a born-again believer is so affected now that as the needle rests not except it points to the pole, so your heart can never be quiet except in your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The light of God's countenance must be that light to you, or else you must walk in darkness. Your song, your music must come from Jesus' lips, or else there is nothing for you except crying and misery and gnashing of teeth. Without God, brethren, without God, you cannot bear it. Do you think you are able to bear it without God? Without God in your life? To be cast out of God's sight is hell indeed. If you can bear with that thought and be satisfied and be comfortable without God, you are then indeed one of those that is lost and condemned. It must be, I repeat, if you can bear with that thought and be very comfortable and satisfied without God, you are indeed one that is lost and condemned. But if you, like Jonah, have in you this wretched, festering discontentment of being away from the presence of God, then there is hope. There is hope. If there is this tussle in you, so to speak, that you just cannot find rest anywhere else except in Jesus, and you know it, then there is hope for you. You are truly His, and the Lord is yours, and no eternal division shall come between you and your God. And this brings me to my second point, the resolve of walking by faith. The resolve of walking by faith. Jonah resolutely declares, "Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." What a prayer. And thank God he made that prayer. He did not give up, because he knows that God did not give up on him. Jonah was a man of God when he was in his worst state of mind, in his misery, in his sorrow, in his, I would say, also regrets. I'm sure he feel that he should have in the first place obeyed God. But at no time was that eternal life extinct within him. It was alive. God, in his mercy, kept it alive, kept it living. Within his being, there is this priceless jewel of faith still alive in him, an eminent faith, a prevalent, triumphant faith of the highest kind, of the highest degree. Observe here carefully that this faith that God gives him, which is a gift from God, this faith put him upon the wings of prayer. You see, in chapter 2, in the beginning of that, the first verse, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish belly." Jonah had not prayed when he went down to Joppa. Did you notice that? He took things into his own hand, leaning unto his own understanding, and giving in to his own whim and fancy, his own ideas. He had taken the management of his own life into his own hands and disregarded God, his Creator. How could he pray? How could he pray right now in such a state of mind? Interesting, isn't it? Now he is in despair. Now he is in sorrow. But thank God, he did pray. And I'm sure that the Holy Spirit helped him, stirred in him that desire to pray to God. He prays. And this is one of the surest evidences of a living faith, which is prayer. If you cannot do anything else, brethren and friends, you can pray. If you are a believer, if you truly cannot do anything else for the Lord or for God's people, at least you can pray. and you need not pray with your lips if you are unable to, but you can pray within your hearts. You can pray with your mind, and God knows. And if you are a true believer, you will as surely pray as a human being breathes or as a child cries. You cannot help it. As a believer with the Spirit or indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you cannot help it. Prayer is your vital breath. Whether on land or in sea, prayer is your lifeline. And you cannot exist without it if you are indeed born of the Spirit of God. So I need to ask, do you have such a living faith? It is not the prayer book, my friends, but the prayer faith that we must have. Do you have such faith? Next, take a close look again at verse 1. You will notice that Jonah's faith shined forth not in prayer to God in general. The passage goes like this. Then Jonah prayed unto his God. Brethren, this laying hold upon God as your God, as your personal Savior, is an experience which those outside of the fold of Christ, outside of the kingdom of God, knows nothing of. It is only for the believer. Do you have a God at all, my friend? Have you got a God at all? Have you a God to yourself, all to yourself? For if it be so, then you will pray. You will pray the prayer of faith when you draw near to your God. And this will prove that whatever your condition may be, whatever your circumstances, you are not cast out of God's sight, the sight of the Most High God, the Creator of heaven and earth, and the giver of eternal life. There is also another thing about Jonah's prayer that I like to bring to your attention. See it here that his faith make him or show to us he is very familiar with God's word or God's sacred scripture. Do you notice it? And it is quite evident. It is quite evident. If you have read the Psalms, it is quite evident that Jonah loved the book of Psalms, for his prayer is full of the psalmist's expression. There are at least, if you read Jonah's prayer again here in this chapter, you will find that at least there is no less than 7 expressions that he took from the book of Psalms in his prayer. It was Jonah's own prayer, and no one gave him a prayer book to recite. His heart led him to the scripture that he had read before, and his memory came back to help him with such expression in his prayer. Most appropriate and suitable, forceful. And he took it from Psalmist, from David, a very much tested servant of the Lord. And so this deep experience is bound to turn to Scripture for its expression. And so we can, and so we must. Human composition is only sufficient for surface work. But when God's Spirit inspired us, we quote a psalm, we quote a verse from the Bible in our prayer. And when our soul faints within us, downcast, We will not be revived by human songs or hymns, but we turn to the sweet melodies of the inspiration of the Word of God. When a true child of God is in trouble, downcast, it is wonderful, wonderful how dear and precious the Word of God becomes to him or to her. Yes, the very words of it. And so let us learn from Jonah to use scriptures in our prayer. And in fact, I have a book which I would recommend to you, written by Matthew Henry, and how he used scriptures to pray or make it in his own prayer. And so you can do that, as we also see in Jonah here, to ask the Lord to give you that faith which loves scripture. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. And true faith, you can be sure of that, true faith always loves the word of God, which springs forth and it feeds upon it and grows thereby. The faith of God's elect people clings to God, and not only that, reverence God's word. By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. Matthew 4:4. And upon such spiritual manner, we see here, Jonah lived where others must have died. Jonah said, I will look again toward thy holy temple. And so faith, true faith, resolute faith, in her worst circumstances, trust to God and to God only. No one else. And this is the perseverance and determination of faith. Brethren, it is due to God, it is due to Christ, it is due to the gospel that we should, as believers, every day believe by the help of the Holy Spirit with the simplicity of undivided trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray for more faith. Let us pray as the apostle prayed and asked the Lord Jesus, increase our faith. We are to live by faith. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. You may be quite sure that you are permitted to do this. God has given it to those who are his children. For Christ is always the sinner's savior. If you cannot come to him, to Christ, as sins, then come to him as sinners. If you cannot come to Jesus as you should, yet come just as you are. If your garments are not clean as they should be, yet come. Do not delay and wash yourself white in the blood of the Lamb. This ought to be done more readily by us every day, for it should be a growingly easy thing to believe our God as experience proves his faithfulness. Is it not true? I trust that this is your experience, brethren, that you have experienced that in your life. When we are at our worst, let us not be quick to conclude that God has cast us away. Rather, let us trust with resolute faith. Let us quickly turn to Scripture and read it and study it to find help and encouragement, because that is the way how God has, what God has given to us for our encouragement, for our practice. Let us resolve to believe, though the world is on fire. And indeed, we see perilous happenings around us. Let us believe, though the sun be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Let us believe, though all the powers of the earth be mobilized for the final battle. Let us in childlike faith, believe. Let us believe though the trumpet sound for judgment and the great white throne is set in the open heaven. Why should we doubt? Ask yourself, brethren and friends, why should you and I doubt? The covenant confirmed by promise and by oath, tested and ratified with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not sufficient? Is that not sufficient? The blood of Christ which covers every believer under the broad shield of divine truth. And what else? What else should we fear? What else should we fear if we have the Lord Jesus? If we have the Holy Spirit in us? May the Spirit of God help us to trust and to obey. And there is no other way. As the hymn writer writes, there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. May the Lord help us.